In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My beloved in Christ Jesus, just as we are celebrating this leave-taking of this glorious yet fearful feast of the beheading of John the Baptist, what a glorious liturgy it was. We now hear this very important gospel of the vineyard. A man, a householder, it says, planted a vineyard. That is, God planted his church. He planted his church. Or as St. Paul says, the Israel of God. He said, you, the church, are the Israel of God, which was taken away from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was taken away from those unworthy tenants, because they were only tenants, and given to the apostles and the saints, and to all of us. Israel, my dear ones, is not a political entity, nor a geographic piece of land. Just as the temple is not a building, but it is wherever the people of God who belong to Christ gather. We are not the temple. We are the temple, not the building. This is one thing that drives me nuts. I hear modern Orthodox calling their churches temples. Oh, I'm going to build a new temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Okay, the Lord said, this is the temple. I will raise up this body. It is a person. When we consecrate a church, we consecrate it, like anoint it, just as we do in baptism, as a person. For it is Jesus Christ who is the temple. And all of us, we sanctify the temple when we gather together to preach the gospel. But the Lord indeed is present among us. The temple and even the building becomes holy, so we reverence this place, for God dwells with his people. In this worship of the church, just as at the beginning with the worship of the holy angels that was prophesied in Isaiah, which was seen in Isaiah and in Daniel and Revelation. Holy, holy, holy art thou, O our God. We find the true Jerusalem. It is in the worship of the church that we find the true Jerusalem, the true Israel. You won't hear this from preachers. There's some places right around here. For they are diminishing Christ. They're diminishing the work of Christ. They don't even understand it. They don't understand what they're doing. It's called dispensationalism, for those that know about that. But the true Israel, the worship of the Holy Church that began with the angels around the throne of God, and ourselves now singing holy, 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 it tells us where the true church is. It tells us that we will find truth here about ourselves and about our God, about life and about death, about what is true and what is false. So this search for the truth, my beloved, is not about some kind of theology. We must seek truth, for only when we find him will we be set free. How do we do this? How do we know what the truth is? How do we find it? Do we spend all of our time reading about the truth, reading books, even the Holy Scriptures, just to accumulate knowledge or to analyze the Scripture according to our own understanding and whims? No, my beloved. The truth will not come to us by these fleshly ways. These are fleshly. Truth first, we must understand, is a revelation from God to the human heart. A heart that is seeking and is prepared herself to receive it. A heart that is seeking and is prepared herself to receive it. Second, this truth is revealed not to individuals. It is revealed as we gather together as the holy body of Jesus Christ, for it is He who is our teacher. That is why we can't separate the Bible study from the Eucharistic liturgy of the church. We can't separate. We don't rip the Bible from the very source of the Bible. It is revealed to us as the church throughout the world and over the centuries. This is very important. Over the centuries. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we must seek the truth in the consensus of the church fathers and mothers. This consensus, you know, not every father ascribed to the same thing. But our creed demonstrates, and our hymns in the church demonstrate, you can have absolute confidence in that. And the theology that's elucidated in the services of the church tell us what the consensus of the church fathers is. That is what is infallible. No human being is infallible, including the patriarch or the pope or a priest or a holy father or a holy saint. No human being is infallible. But the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ, connected to Him intimately, is infallible. There is one truth, just as there is one church, just as there is one baptism, just as there is one Lord. When our Lord took the apostles apart near Caesarea Philippi, and I was there, it's a beautiful area, mountainous area. You could go up and see Mount Hermon in Lebanon from there. And in there, there were streams running through there. And in this place, there was a cave. It was long. It must have been 500 yards long and about 40 feet high. And the pagans said, that is the entryway to Hades. Those are the gates of Hades. It gave me the chills. He gathered to the apostles together on that very spot. You can read about it in the Gospel of Matthew. And he asked the apostles, the whole group, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? They answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah or a prophet. Then he said, who do you, plural, say that I am? Peter, answering for the whole apostolic group, which was of one mind. There's a word in Greek for it, omothetharon. It means one heart, one mind, one outlook. Peter answered for them as their representative, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what Jesus then told them? He said, Peter, flesh and blood, which is earthly thinking, earthly analysis of the scripture, theological concoctions, earthly thinking, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So you see, truth is a revelation deep in the human heart. They had prepared themselves for it. They had left everything. They had left their families. They had left their work. They had left everything behind. I'm not saying you should all leave your work. On this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. This rock, this confession that I am the Son of God, enshrined in our liturgies, that He was born, that He was baptized, that He was transfigured on the mountain, that He was died on a cross. The cross is a central preaching. Every preaching in the church is about the cross. For as often as we do eat His body and drink His blood, we do commemorate His death until He comes. St. Paul says. This is the apostolic confession. And the gates of Hades, as he pointed to that cave, the gates of Hades, they understood it very well, will not prevail against her. Here we have the truth, which is the living God who reveals himself as the one who is head of his church, who gave us our friends and our children, who gives us every breath, who gives us life, who loves us even to the point of himself dying. The apostles had prepared themselves. Their hearts were softened by their labors. They were softened by placing all worldly desires as secondary, not ignoring them. They fished for a living. They took care of their families. They were softened by leaving sin to the best of their ability, and thus they were ready to receive this seed, which is the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So for us, 20 centuries later, how do we find this truth? I have some practical suggestions. First and foremost, daily prayer. Daily prayer at home and especially in the church. This is not just any prayer, but a prayer offered in humility. We pray in the morning prayers, O Lord, accept the prayer that I offer to you in humility. Read the prayers carefully. You'll find that. That I offer to you in humility. This is the key. To humble ourselves is to recognize our own sinfulness. We never judge our neighbor's sin. For if we are always looking at someone else's garden, the weeds, we will never see the weeds in our own garden. The Samaritan woman, Saint Photini, who met the Lord at the well. And you should know, meeting your bride at the well. Who? Lord Isaac. Moses. Who else? There's one more in the New Testament. Meaning their bride at the well. The Virgin Mary. The Archangel Gabriel came down to her at the well. The well of Mary. We visited that. And the Lord meets his wife, who was a sinful woman at that well. She could not, and that's the church, that is us. Saint Photini represents all of us. She could not recognize Christ, however, before she admitted her sins. She could not receive that word. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one now that you're with is not your husband. She said, I perceive you are a prophet. Have we, beloved, also not married five husbands or wives, as it may be? Have we not married our pride, our work, our accomplishments, our success? Even for the priests, success in the church. Lord, have mercy. The Lord is bringing hundreds of people into the church, and we act like it's our doing. Are we wedded to our feelings of superiority over others? Are we wedded to our animosity and unforgiveness because others have wounded us or made us, insulted us? Are we wedded to our lusts and fleshly desires and comforts? We must turn all of these things away from us first. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, go call your husband. So we must recognize our sins, not other people's. And we must forgive them for Christ's sake. We must forgive them for Christ's sake, for the sake of the resurrection, as we say during the Paschal hymn. Let us help those who are in need with what we have been given as a gift from God. Let us help them, for God desires his children to share their gifts with the whole world. With the whole world, not with any one group. Then we can begin to understand the church and her prayers. Then we will understand the scriptures. Then we will know the truth, who is a person, not a thing. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us, St. James. Let me end with a story that I got from St. Nikolai, who's one of my favorites, modern, imprisoned by the Nazis in World War II. Beautiful man. He tells this story. A man was insulted by his friend very deeply. But desiring peace with him, for he knew it was right, he went to him to be reconciled. But the other person would not even open the door and spewed obscenities at him and drove him away from the house. This hurt him even further and angered him greatly. He went to his priest, who was a wise confessor. The priest told him, "In going to make peace with your brother, you were all the way along the road condemning him in your thoughts and justifying yourself. I advise you to go back, but order your thoughts as though it were you who has sinned against him, and go to him, justifying him and condemning yourself in your own heart." The brother did this, and as soon as he drew near the brother's house, what happened? The latter opened the door wide, ran to him, kissed him on the neck, and embraced him. It is not the words on our lips that count, but the living word who dwells in our heart. Beloved, let us cleanse the inside of the cup first, and then the outside will become holy like fire. It will become like fire, for the Lord is indeed a consuming fire, a fire of love, not judgment. Amen.